Wonderful. Well, let's see. We've got a sermon this morning for you entitled, When God Says No.
But keep praying.
Keep praying. That's right. 2 Samuel chapter 7. 2 Samuel chapter 7. And it came to pass, when the king sat in his house, that's King David, sitting in his house, and the Lord had given him rest round about from all his enemies, that the king said unto Nathan the prophet, See now, I dwell in an house of cedar, but the ark of God dwelleth within curtains. And Nathan said to the king, Go, do all that is in thine heart, for the Lord is with thee. Now we're going to get some more verses in this chapter, but we'll find out that in the content of this chapter, we find these are prosperous times for King David. He's at rest in the city of Jerusalem, in his palace. No wars to fight, no quarrels to settle. You know, his administration got off to a pretty rough start with a civil war that divided his nation. Abner, one of the generals of the Israeli army, tried to install a rival king at the death of King Saul, but that's all over now. And all of the elders of the 12 tribes have rallied around David, and the nation is at rest, political rest. Now the events that take place in this chapter are not the most exciting incidents in David's life, but we're going to find that one of them is the most important. It establishes the throne rights of our Lord Jesus Christ to rule and to reign. We have here in this chapter what is called the Davidic covenant. And the promise that God makes to David in this chapter constitutes the foundation for the kingdom of Christ. And that's the one that we're going to be ruling and reigning with him in, so it pertains to us. God promises David in this chapter that he'll have a child who will succeed him and establish an everlasting kingdom. And he tells us in verse 16, you can jump down there and look at that if you like. He says to him, this is God to David, Thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. His house, the house of David, and the kingdom of Israel, shall be established forever before thee. And the third thing is, thy throne shall be established forever.
Amen.
In other words, there'll never lack a son of David, an heir of David, on the throne of Israel. Now, dynasties have come and gone. They've crumbled into the dust of history. But in the end, this final kingdom will be established, and the son of David will sit on that throne that God is establishing here. That's the wonderful part about this chapter. Now, let's look at it. In the first three verses that we read, we find David sitting in his luxurious palace. And from the context of it, I gather that David is remembering that about 450 years before this, way down in the wilderness at Mount Sinai, God had instructed Moses to construct a tabernacle. He gave him the pattern for it. And in this tabernacle, God's presence would dwell in the midst of his people. Now that tabernacle that Moses was to build was not going to be a permanent building. It was designed to be taken apart and moved and transported to different places and then set up again. And yet it lasted for 450 years. That's a long time. Now that tabernacle was perfect for the Israelites in the wilderness. But Israel isn't wandering in the wilderness anymore. They're in the promised land now. And they're established there. They're dwelling in sealed houses. And David, their king, is living in a palace of cedar. And the tabernacle was never brought to Jerusalem. But the Ark of the Covenant was. And the Ark of the Covenant, what's important about it is that was the place where the presence of God dwelt between the cherubim. It had been brought to Jerusalem. David brought it there. And he had a special tent built for it. Called it a tabernacle, but it was a tent. Like we would have a pitch of canvas tent. And it was out here near the palace where David lived. So David's in his luxurious palace. And he looks out his window and he sees that tent sitting over yonder on a vacant lot, and a horrible truth dawns on David. Here he is living in this beautiful, luxurious palace, affording all of the luxuries of his day. And there is his God. Out yonder in that vacant lot. Living in a tent. And David's heart is smitten. The unfairness of the situation registers on his mind. And he's determined to do something to remedy this situation. This inequity. He wants to do something to honor God. So he thinks, I'll build God a house. A place for him to dwell. That sounds reasonable, doesn't it? Can't you see where David's coming from? He could afford it. Money was no object. So he calls his good friend and counselor, the prophet Nathan. And he discusses it with Nathan and he says, Nathan, see here, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwelleth within curtains. Nathan agrees with him. He thinks it's a good idea. He encourages David and says, go, do all that is within thine heart, for the Lord is with thee. That's a good idea. I know that God would be pleased with this. What I like about this is that David did not ask God for anything. The only thing that he wanted to do was to give something to the Lord. He wanted to do something for God, not take something from him, not to receive. And he wanted to do this not expecting anything in return for building this temple. He was not doing it with the idea that God would bless him and reward him for it. There was not a selfish thought in his mind, no motive there. Later on, Solomon will say of his father, over in 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verses 7 and 8, he'll say, "Now it was in the heart of David my father to build an house for the name of the Lord God. But the Lord said unto David my father, for as much as it was in thine heart to build an house for my name, thou didst well." God said it was a good idea you had, in that it was in thine heart. But let's read on here, verse 4. "And it came to pass that night," that very night, "that the word of the Lord came unto Nathan, saying," here's what the Lord told Nathan, "and go and tell my servant David, thus saith the Lord, shalt thou build me an house for me to dwell in, whereas I've not dwelt in any house since the time that I brought up the children of Israel out of Egypt, even to this day, but have walked in a tent and in a tabernacle. In all the places wherein I have walked with all the children of Israel, spake I a word with any of the tribes of Israel, whom I commanded to feed my people Israel, saying, why build ye not me an house of cedar?" God said, have I ever asked any of you to build me a house? "Now therefore, so shalt thou say unto my servant David, thus saith the Lord of hosts." God's thinking back. He's, "David, I took thee from the sheepcote, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people, even Israel. And as I was with thee whithersoever thou wentest, and have cut off all thine enemies out of thy sight, and have made thee a great name like unto the name of the great men that are in the earth. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, that they may dwell in a place of their own, and move no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more as before time. And as since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, and have caused thee to rest from all thine enemies, also the Lord telleth thee that he will make thee an house. And when the days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers," after you've already gone, he said, "I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. And I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men. But my mercy shall not depart away from him." Look down in verse 18. Or verse 16, this is where he said, "And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever." Isn't that wonderful? But when you read this, you can sum up God's response to David's petition. God says, no. No. David said, "I want to build you a house." God says, no. If you wonder why God did not allow David to build the house for the Lord, the answer is found in 1 Chronicles chapter 22, beginning in verse 5. But I will say this, God allowed David to gather all the materials to build it. I mean, he had all of the lumber, all of the gold, the silver, everything, every stone to go in the building of this. But David could not build it. The Bible says, so David prepared abundantly before his death. Then he called for Solomon, his son, and charged him to build and house for the Lord God of Israel. David said to Solomon, my son, as for me, it was in my mind to build an house under the name of the Lord my God. But the word of the Lord came to me, saying, thou hast shed blood abundantly, and hast made great wars. Thou shalt not build an house under my name, because thou hast shed much blood upon the earth in my sight. Behold, a son shall be born unto thee, who shall be a man of rest. And I will give him rest from all his enemies round about, for his name shall be Solomon. And I will give peace and quietness unto Israel in his days. He shall build a house for my name, and he shall be my son, and I will be his father, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom over Israel forever. That's what God told David. And now David says to Solomon, now my son, the Lord be with thee, and prosper thee, and build the house of the Lord thy God, as he hath said of thee. You know, that's a wonderful story, isn't it? But let's make it practical. There may be some here today under the sound of my voice to whom God has said no. There's nothing wrong with what you desired. There may have been no selfishness involved in it whatsoever. No hidden motives. It was a godly desire. But God, in his wisdom, that we cannot understand sometimes, has said no. There have been men who have dedicated their lives to the Lord and surrendered to preach, to whom God has said no. There are those who have desired a full-time ministry in the service of God, to whom God has said no. There have been young ladies whose hearts have been touched and God has impressed upon them the need to go into all the world and be a missionary for the Lord Jesus Christ, but their dream never reached fulfillment. There may be those who have dreamed of making a lot of money in order to help churches and to build missions. God has had other plans for you. The reality is that not everything that we pray for happens. Sometimes God heals, and sometimes God doesn't. Sometimes God gives more than enough. Sometimes we feel that God is not giving enough. Sometimes we get the job we want, and sometimes we don't. God did not deny David his dream to build him a house because God is mean. In his rejection, God spoke some very precious words to David. In his denial, God gave David what we call the Davidic covenant. As we said earlier, when God says no, he may just have a greater yes in the background.
Amen.
Instead of David building God a house, God said, David, I'll build you a house. The plan in God's mind was much bigger and much greater than the plan in David's mind. David wanted to build God a house that would last for a while. For instance, Solomon, his son, built the house that David wanted to build. And that beautiful temple that Solomon built lasted for 389 years. It was dedicated in 925 B.C. and then old Nebuchadnezzar came with his Chaldean army in 586 B.C. and they completely destroyed it. Not one stone was left upon another. But God built David a house that will last forever and will never be destroyed. As you look back over your life, you'll find some good and godly plans that you've had that never came to pass. Can't you? We've all been there. I don't know just what kind of plans that I had whenever I surrendered my life to the Lord. But I'll tell you, it was in the days of the Shulers and Billy Graham when he was first getting started. I remember I went out to Portales, New Mexico. I wanted to build a church for God. I had the same desires David did. I went out there. I was going to be another Billy Graham. If God can do it with Billy Graham, he can do it with me. But he didn't. Oh, I was disappointed, certainly. But you know, this far down the road, I'm able to look back and see that God has altered my life in ways that I didn't exactly wish for. But I beg you, if that happens to you, don't be consumed with bitterness and disappointment with what God has not done for you or with you. But be consumed with contentment and happiness and thanksgiving with what God has done for you and with you.
Yes.
You may not have what you wanted out of life, but that's okay. God has given you what He wanted you to have. Thank Him for it. When God says no, it could be that He has something much better for you. I won't take the time to read the rest of this chapter, but I would urge you to please read verses 18 through 29, if you will, because in that portion of Scripture, David is talking back to God after Nathan came and told him, "Thus saith the Lord, David, you can't build me a house." And I want you to see in the rest of this chapter the attitude of David, how that affected him. He didn't get angry with God. He didn't berate God. He didn't lash out and accuse God of being unfair and not doing him right. Then went King David and sat before the Lord. He went and sat down before the Lord. And he said, "Who am I, O Lord God? Who am I anyway?" He says, "There's none like thee. Thou art my God." That's his response to God's no. And every word of his response is full of praise and adoration and thanksgiving and blessing. Even though David did not get his way in this manner, he was willing to accept God's plan for his life. You read this, you will not find a single note of disappointment. He accepted God's promise. He acknowledged God's ability to bring it all to pass. He demonstrated that his greatest desire was not to do what he wanted to do or what he dreamed of doing, but rather that his life would be pleasing to God. I think of a greater than David that came. And he went yonder to a garden called Gethsemane. And he fell down on his face and he prayed in such agony that he sweat great drops of blood. He said, "Oh Father, if thou be willing, let this cup pass from me." Well, how did he finish his prayer? "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." May God bring us to that place today, to where we can say, "Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I'm the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will while I'm waiting." Yield it and still. Let's stand together, please, with our heads bowed in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you today that you are indeed our Father. You are our God. We are your subjects as well as your children. And we pray, Father, that you will take our lives and use us according to your will. Not according to what we want. Oh, it's all right for us to have grandiose ideas. It's good for us to have dreams and ambitions of doing great things for you. But Lord, our humble prayer today would be, use me. Let thy Holy Spirit come upon me in the power of thy might and use me for thy name's honor and glory. I'm only one person out of nearly 6 billion on the face of this earth today. I pray that you would use me to be a blessing, to bring honor and glory to your name. And that's my prayer for each member of this congregation today. Speak to our hearts. Draw us unto thyself. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.